Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Janine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Today's episode, we are going to be talking about peptides. And are they the future of medicine? Or what do I think about them? So I've actually had the chance to use some peptides in my office and kind of wanted to wait to do this podcast till I had some experience with them on a personal level, because I know it's a hot topic and I know a lot of people are talking about them, but I like to have some experience with myself and some patients before I kind of weigh in on what I think about these things. So today we're going to talk about how peptides work in your body, why you might need some peptides for ideal results, so for maximizing your health, and how to use them effectively, of course, and why the source of peptides matters, because there are a lot of companies out there online selling peptides, and you just don't know what you're getting. And I'll be honest that sometimes it's interesting when things come from China, because they can be a great product, or it could be a product that for a while it's good and then all of a sudden they cut the dosage down. And so you're paying the same, thinking you're getting, say, a 10 milligram or something, but you're really only getting 5 and you're like, why is this not working anymore? That's not cool. And unfortunately, regulations in China are not what they are necessarily in the US. But I will say on that same caveat that the FDA is not regulating peptides of the ones that I'm going to talk about today. They are not approved by the FDA. There are ones that are, and they are trademarked by pharmaceutical companies like Ozempic. You guys heard that? You know the song. Oh, 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 Ozempic. You know, I'm like jamming to it. Sometimes I get it stuck in my head, and that's pretty sad because I'm a naturopathic doctor singing a song about a pharmaceutical medication. But Ozempic is a peptide. It really works to signal insulin production in the body. So it's kind of cool. It's for diabetes, type 2 in particular. And then Lupron is another really popular peptide that stimulates gonadotropin-releasing hormone. Now, what the heck is gonadotropin-releasing hormone? It is a stimulator of our sex hormones. So there you have two pharmaceutical peptides that you may or may not have heard of. Now, what the heck is a peptide? The FDA considers a peptide any polymer composed of 40 or fewer amino acids. Now, I've heard on average peptides can be up to 50 amino acids long, but in this case, let's go with what the FDA says, since they're kind of the regulating body, and you know that I'm sometimes in and out with the FDA, but in this case, just for congruency, we'll go with that. So what are these peptides? What do they do? So they're signaling molecules for the body. They literally tell the body what to do. If you put a bunch of peptides together, you would get a protein. So they're like smaller proteins, like baby proteins. And interestingly enough, there's a lot of research going on right now on peptides. At one point, I heard over 500 trials. I believe that was Jean-Francois Tremblay, who is a guru in the peptide world in Montreal. And so there's a lot going on in this peptide world. So it's something that we should pay attention to. And the reason being is because we're finding ways peptides can be useful in ways to target broken or issues with signaling pathways. And we can use the peptides to personalize our approach to fix certain pathways and signaling mechanisms that are incorrect. So it's kind of cool. We really might have the possibility someday to go, okay, X, Y, and Z pathways are not working. We're going to use X, Y, and Z peptides to stimulate them. Right now, we have a little bit of a broad approach, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. But we have the potential, depending on how research turns out, to really dial this in a little bit. So I think it's worth it to talk about this. So peptides really in my world, came to the forefront in my mind, I guess you could say, instead of my world, with skincare, because we're using a lot of peptides to signal the skin to do certain things, such as rejuvenate skin cells. So working on anti-aging, basically. So if you look at any popular serums out there right now for skincare that are termed anti-aging, you're going to see certain types of peptides in there. In fact, Hydropeptide, a company originally out of Issaquah, Washington, is a prime example. This company is really focusing in on peptides for skin. And Is Clinicals also, it's another company that I use in my office for skin care. They're pretty forefront of peptide research as well. But if you look into peptides for use medically, so instead of aesthetically, looking more medically to try to fix metabolic pathways, a lot of the research actually came out of Russia during the Cold War. So this is in the 80s. And if you look online and you go through PubMed searches, you will find data. And it's often reported on rats, not humans. There was a podcast that I listened to with Jean-Francois Tremblay and Ben Greenfield, and Jean-Francois was talking a lot about how this research was actually probably done on humans first, then had to be done on rats to pass inspection in terms of a true research study. So I find that a little interesting. So something to think about there. Normally it's the reverse for us. We study rats first, then do humans. But nevertheless, a lot of the cool research is going to be dating back to the 80s. So it's kind of old school. And then you'll notice that there's a rejuvenation of peptide research somewhere around 2010, 2012-ish. And then up into 2015, you have a lot of reviews. And then now you're starting to see more dialed in peptide research. So it's kind of cool to see the evolution of this kind of medicine. Now, for skincare, we put peptides on our skin. So serums is how we are using this. But in terms of medical use, meaning for getting a reaction in a certain pathway, we're actually injecting peptides, or we are using them orally or in a type of foam type of pattern. Now, there are some topicals as well too, just like the skincare ones. And most of the topical ones are going to be for boosting skin growth. Regenerating skin or tissue, or working on hair growth. So things to think about in terms of administration. But the biggest issue with these peptides is that the gut can cause some problems. Why? Because peptides, being small proteins, we can break them down as if we're eating a protein. And so the gut acids could split apart the proteins. Then further on down the line, if say the peptide made it past the gut, splitting it apart, now we have to make sure absorption happens. So that's kind of where the money's at, if you will, in terms of figuring these peptides out. There are a couple of them that we have enough data that the oral route actually works. And one in particular is called BPC-157. It's body protein complex 157. It is quite amazing for leaky gut and injury recovery. And I do use it in my office. I'm going to talk a little bit about it in a few. But I wanted to mention that one of the cons, if you will, of peptides is taking it orally. Because, and I mean, let's put it this way. Probably the con is more in having to inject yourself versus taking something orally. And so the problem is that they're not stable enough to get through the gut. So researchers are having to figure out ways to make them more stable so that they can get through the gut. And how is that happening? Well, a lot of pharmacies are binding these peptides to things like albumin. Albumin is a protein naturally found in the body that carries hormones around to and other molecules around to certain places in the body for certain functions. So albumin's one way. The other way is that we're looking at complexes that can help with absorption. So it's the research is there. It's just we only have a few peptides that are orally stable at this moment.
Now, the other thing with peptides is that they can be sensitive to light and unstable with water, and they can be sensitive to temperature changes. So when I receive certain peptides in the mail from the compounding pharmacies that I order them from, they're kept cold and they're flown to me overnight, two-day mail. And so they get to me pretty quickly, and they're recommended to be refrigerated just to be safe. Now, Jean-Francois Tremblay in his podcast with Ben Greenfield said that most peptides are stable once they've been compounded and into the form for injection. But when you're mixing them yourself, there can be a lot of stability issues. This is especially why you want to be getting these from compounding pharmacies versus trying to mix this stuff on your own. If you are not a chemist, you're not a pharmacist, I don't recommend it. There can be some serious issues with your mixing. And I know that there's lots of protocols online on how to mix and create these peptides and how to buy the raw materials to put them together. But I strongly advise not doing that because I think there's a lot of issues with stability. I think there's a lot of issues with getting the right dosage. Just let someone else do it. Take the headache out of your life. So, public service announcement on peptides, get them from a compounding pharmacy. And I'm going to recommend a compounding pharmacy that I use. And as any old individual out there, you're going to have to find a doc who will prescribe these for you. And I'll also give you some resources for that. So let's talk about the pros and cons of peptides a little bit here. Now, so far, we found that they could be quite effective. Safety's pretty decent on them. And they're pretty selective because why? They're created to mimic a peptide that you already have in your body that is going to signal a certain function. So we're targeting receptors in the body to create a certain reaction. And so it's targeted medicine here. Now, the downside of that is that while we create these peptides, they have short half-lives, meaning you can clear them from the body pretty quickly. In some cases, a few hours, up to 6, 12 hours in other cases. And this makes sense naturally because when we're sending out a message to do something in the body, it's not going to be something that's going to go on forever, right? Because you're not going to be releasing growth hormone all day long. You're going to be releasing it overnight. You're not going to be stimulating insulin all the time because you would have really low blood sugar levels. And so the idea here is that naturally, the half-life and fast elimination of these peptides should happen. And if we're manipulating them and the pathways, we have to think about that. How long should we make these things stable for and useful for in the body? What are the parameters? That's something to be determined at this point. Right now, we know how long they can last, so we can kind of target when you should dose something and how frequent. But with injections, I mean, these kind of things are different. Everyone's different. Everyone has a certain amount of adipose tissue as well. And peptides are often, when they're injected subcutaneously. The difference is if they're injected over a injury, that's where you're going to be different. Otherwise, all of the standard peptides, such as the ones that are going to affect your metabolism, the ones that are going to affect your growth hormone release, that's all going to be subcutaneously. Whereas if you're looking at BPC-157, so this is body complex protein 157, you're going to be injecting it right into or just above the site of your injury. So things to think about there in terms of the pros and cons. One more con that I would say here is that there is a possibility for an immune system cross-reaction with these peptides, kind of like the same response you might get if you have type A blood, but you get type B blood in a blood transfer. So that is a possibility. There's not a lot of talk about that. I haven't seen it out there in terms of actual documented cases. There may be that, and I just didn't find them, but it is something that folks are talking about in terms of a concern. So there you have it on the pros and cons. Now, I had already mentioned one of the cons in terms of don't buy online from Chinese labs. And you might not even know it's a Chinese lab, but if it's coming through like Alibaba or one of those resources, and really to be able to get peptides cost effectively, If you're going the cheap route, it's going to come from China. Otherwise, all U.S. sources in terms of compounding pharmacies, it's expensive. And that would be another con to this type of medicine. Your average treatment is going to be anywhere between $100 to $500, up to $1,000 for certain protocols because these injections of peptides are expensive. And it's something to think about. It's not like popping a supplement that's cost $20-$40. But if you look at all of your supplements adding up and how much you spend over the month, you might actually be close to $300 a month. Some people I know are at that. And with peptides, you can cycle them in terms of give yourself enough for 6 months, stop, then do another round to like 2 or 3 times a year. That may be worth it too versus having to take supplements every single day. So another thing that you want to weigh out. Now, of course, I was mentioning how do you get peptides earlier. And yes, we already hopefully have it in your head that you need to get them from a compounding pharmacy. You can't just walk into a compounding pharmacy and say, hey, I want some peptides. Really, the best way to get them is to see a functional medicine doctor who's been trained in peptide use. Now, that being said, I don't have a specific certificate in peptides. In fact, I've done a lot of research, gone to trainings, and I'm self-taught. I just didn't get the certification. I may someday, depending on where I see this going. I do think that it's going somewhere positive. It's why it's on the podcast, but I haven't dove fully into getting certified. So I'm calling myself out. I personally am not certified, but there are a lot of folks who are. Dr. William Seeds is kind of like your guru in this department, and he provides classes through A4M. And so that's the American Anti-Aging Medicine Society. And these guys have, I shouldn't say society, it's a group. And they do a lot of trainings and certifications for advanced functional medicine. And that's where I would go. And there are a list of docs who are certified. So I'm going to put that in my podcast notes at drjkrausnd.com. So if you're looking for somebody to help you in your area with the peptides, I would start there first because that is the governing group that does the certificate training in peptides. So check them out. Now, in terms of online peptides, there's only one company, Dr. Seeds. So that's Dr. William Seeds, the guru in peptides. He has a website, drseeds.com, and he has BPC, so body protein complex 157. He does have that in oral capsules online. So I would say that would be the one spot that I would trust that source. Otherwise, if you're doing injectables, get them from a compounding pharmacy and make sure that you've got a functional medicine doctor that can help you with figuring out what you need. Now, the lingo in terms of peptides is stacking, meaning you might have a prescription for one peptide that goes well with another. So that's a stack, creating multiples. And the average stacks can be anywhere between 4 and 5 peptides at a time. I typically am kind of doing 2 at a time just to see how people do. I don't go into injecting anything into the body lightly. So there you have it. Now, because my practice is pretty heavy with pain management, I do a lot of acupuncture therapy and work backwards, basically figuring out, okay, if you've got pain, what else is dysregulated in your body? How can I get your body to run optimally? And I don't believe that I can just treat pain, but not treat the whole body. You can't, it's not possible. So with folks that have pain and are in injury recovery states, so say they've hurt themselves either on the job or in a sport, I am using injections of body protein complex BPC 157 and oral BPC 157. So I use both of them at the same time. We will inject at the site of injury as long as it's not a joint, because in my scope of practice, I can't inject into joints, but things like Achilles tendon tears, tendinopathies, so that's tendonitis of elbows, things of that nature, I can inject right into those tendons and get those guys along the way for healing. What does Body Protective Complex 157 do? It boosts cell division. It can last up to 6 hours and then the effect stops. So this is why someone who has injured themselves needs to inject frequently. And so coming into my office
daily or weekly, depending on the dosage that we're using and what their abilities are, and taking it orally. The oral kind of covers the basis here. Now, I have had people where I do these injections once a week just because, one, we can't get them in, but if they can get a boost for 6 hours on their healing, that's a jump start, right? So I don't think it's wasted. But I would say in a perfect world, it'd be great if I could give somebody the vial and syringe and have them inject daily to help boost healing in that area. And I do have some patients that come in daily once they've hurt themselves for at least a week for us to prime the system to heal up. I have not gone into more than a week on it because it gets cumbersome for schedules and things of that nature. So I'll just be honest with you there. So something to think about with the body protective complex, this is a big deal in terms of leaky gut. I have found in myself and other patients that have taken it for leaky gut, their gut health improves. Bloating goes down. They seem to be able to tolerate more foods. Things such as carbohydrates get easier to digest. So the belly gets flatter. Not so bloated. It's quite nice. So this is something that I do highly recommend for anyone that's struggling with just a wonky gut and wants to just see if you can improve things, or someone who has multiple food sensitivities. I haven't officially introduced it into every single patient with food sensitivities because I will admit that a protocol with this can be quite expensive. BPC 157 in capsules is about $2.50 or more in terms of dollars, $2.50 or more a capsule. And if you're going to be taking it every single day, and typically I will have people do about 6-8 weeks of this, if not 12 weeks, depending on how their system is, it could run you up to $350 for a 3-month supply. But, you know, if you're not having to take multiple supplements, and this is the one thing versus the L-glutamine versus the licorice root, etc., it could go a long way. I am combining it personally with Megaspore and BPC 157. Megaspore is a spore-based probiotic, just FYI out there if you're wondering what I'm combining. I do those together. And so far seems to be pretty good. I have a patient who is combining IgG, so Mega IgG, which is a complex that helps with endotoxin neutralization. So if you're having bugs dying and you get that reaction, that's one thing to consider. So helping with the immune system of the gut as well. So there's lots of different ways that you can combine this. It all kind of depends on what your main symptoms are. But if you're thinking, okay, I have a lot of food sensitivities, my nose is running, I'm pretty stuffy, and I've got bloating and gas and it's out of control, try some BPC 157. I will say that in myself and another patient, when we first started it, the first week, there was a cleaning out effect. So it increased bowel movements for the first week. So I will warn you that that will happen. And I haven't heard any constipation, but you will have some increased bowel movements. So if you want a good clean out and you want to fix your leaky gut, consider this. And keep in mind that you don't have to get this from a compounding pharmacy. You can get it from Dr. Seeds. This is Dr. William Seeds. He's the orthopedic surgeon and peptide guru I was talking about earlier, who does the trainings for the A4M group. And his BPC 157, I think, is like $50. So it's not bad compared to the compounding version. So something to think about. I actually think I'm going to be doing this for my gut lining maintenance every 2 to 3 months. And every 2 to 3 months, I will do probiotics. Every 2 to 3 months, I used to do L-glutamine, licorice root, and just kind of do a gut lining repair. I think I'm going to do this instead and see how I do. So one side note about Dr. Seeds, he works with the Olympic Training Center in Geneva, Ohio, and he's the consulting doc for the Dancing with the Stars group. So he's a big deal. He's not just some random person like me. He's got a lot of stuff behind him. His resume is quite impressive. So this peptide business is not a fly-by-night type of medicine. This is some big deal folks that are utilizing this. And a lot of the sports industry are looking at BPC 157 in particular for speeding up healing. Now, of course, if you are an athlete who is drug tested and you want to know what is legal and what is not, you want to go to globaldro.com to see what regulations you are under. Because, as I just mentioned, BPC is used for speeding recovery. It is not legal in sporting events with drug testing because it's seen as an advantage. So when I'm talking about different sports groups working with BPC 157, it is not during season. This is off season to work on enhancing therapies and healing injuries. So there's no cheating happening while the sport is in season. So there you have it. That's my disclaimer here. And I do not work for any of those agencies. So there you have it as well. I have only heard how things work. Now, in terms of immune enhancement and peptides, there is a peptide known as TB500, thymosin B. It's a short segment of thymosin beta 4. So if you see that out there, they are similar. And this guy in particular was discovered in the 60s, so 1960s. So it's been around a while. It was actually used extensively for horse racing. So horse races, the horses who were having injuries needed something to boost their recovery and prevent inflammation, and in particular adhesions that horses get. And so this thymosin B was, and is still today, a big deal. And it speeds up healing. It's also seen as a quick acting immune modulator. And so it can be used for folks who have chronic inflammation, Lyme, fibromyalgia, things of that nature. It's also coined as an adrenal adaptogen. So when someone's stressed out and they have more inflammation, TB500 is supposed to help regulate that. Now, I have not used TB500. I find it really intriguing because as an adrenal adaptogen, I know that a lot of herbs that I use to try to help balance our fight or flight system take a long time to work. If this works faster, I would absolutely love to use this instead. In fact, it's been found to speed wound healing versus using prednisone in flare-ups. And I have quite a few patients who have some interesting skin conditions that we have to use prednisone to shut down their immune system response in terms of overinflammation. I'd be curious if this would work for them. I may consider it for them. And if I do, I will definitely do a podcast on it to talk about it. But TB500 has been found to be an endurance booster. It increases muscle strength, speeds wound healing, decreases chronic pain and inflammation, and also has an effect on hair growth. Now, it has a half-life of 12 hours, so it's out of your blood in 12 hours, but when you inject it, the lasting effects can last up to 10 to 15 days. So that's kind of cool. You can get away with probably less injections on this guy. Now, different podcasts that I've listened to with different docs, a lot of docs are using TB500. It sounds like it is a very popular one out there. So something to consider. Now, there's also something known as thymosin alpha, and thymosin alpha has been shown to also help with regulation of the immune system, and it's a natural circulating hormone peptide that we have mimicked in terms of a synthetic form, and this guy has been bound to albumin to help carry it through the body, and it also can bind to hyaluronic acid. This one is typically injected into the subcutaneous tissue in the abdomen, and it's also something that TaylorMade Compounding, so the pharmacy that I use in Kentucky, does this as well, and I'm kind of curious about this guy too for my folks with the chronic flare-ups of skincare lesions, so that might be another one I try out and see what happens. So perhaps I try TB500 and perhaps we try thymosin A, maybe do a cycle of those and see what happens. Now, another big one of the peptides that I actually use on myself is a combination of something called ipamorlin and CJC1295. Now, these two guys work together to stimulate growth hormone production. Now, I had a patient who came to me and wanted to try growth hormone. And because there's way too much controversy and way too many side effects of just using straight growth hormone, never mind the fact that the FDA will come after you if you use it, I was like, okay, there's got to be a way to get around it. And so I found the Ipamorlin and I found the CJC 1295. I wouldn't let her try it before I tried it. I am a experiment of one always. I won't let my patients try anything that I haven't put myself through first just to see what it's like. So I have done this one for 8 weeks so far, and I'm finding that it's quite nice. It does help me to recover from exercise. I actually really sleep well with it too. And besides having to inject myself in the abdomen each night, it's not so bad. Now, mental clarity is expected at week 3, skin elasticity is supposed to improve at week 4, and by week 6, you're supposed to see body composition change. I really did start to see some pretty good change right around week 6, and I'm still continuing to see change. Now, I do notice, though, if I get a little crazy and go on a little bit of a bender with some breads and some pizzas, because you know what, I'm human and I like those things too, even though I know that my body doesn't, I will see me starting to puff back up. So it doesn't inhibit things. You can't eat like crap and expect to keep injecting yourself and things to work. It is not magic. But if you're staying pretty good and you're kind of sticking to a 90-10 kind of plan, I think this guy really does help. And my patient who wanted to try it after I put myself through a full month of it, she actually has noticed a lot of change too. So I'm kind of thinking this guy's a winner. And so they work together to stimulate human growth hormone production, but they also have some really interesting components as they work on the pituitary gland. And the CJC 1295 in particular acts on the pituitary gland, which can increase protein synthesis. It's what actually helps with the exercise recovery. And of course, they both are going to work to decrease the body fat and support the immune system as well, because the pituitary gland can work on that. So I like the combination of the two of these. It's recommended for 3 to 6 month usage. I'm going to see where I'm at the 3 month. And then at 6 months, at 3 months, I'll decide if I'm going to go straight for 6 months. I'm also going to see what my patient has to say about it. And I'm using the Ipamorlin and the CJC along with BPC-157. So that's my stack of those three together. And we'll see. So stay tuned. I will let you know how those go. So far, both my patient and I are liking the results. So I don't know. Just keep in mind that it's not magical, though. You really do have to watch what you're eating. You have to be working out. You can't just sit on your couch and do nothing and eat bonbons. It's not going to help. So there you have it. Now, longevity hormone regulation components. So longevity and hormone components. There's a lot of talk about Epitalon. It's based on epithalamin, which is released from your pineal gland. And it was made first in Russia by Vladimir Kavinsin, perhaps is how you say that. He is a professor and gerontologist. He's out of St. Petersburg, Russia, and he is the director of St. Petersburg Institute of Bioregulation. That sounds kind of fun. So he is considering the Epitalon as a adaptogenic peptide. So when we think of herbs like astragalus, we think of herbs like ashwagandha, holy basil, Siberian ginseng, rhodiola. These are all adaptogenic herbs that take a little time to work. This guy is targeted for your body because your body sees these herbs and yes, eventually we get change, but if there's something that your body already uses, you can speed up the process. That's pretty cool. Now, some of the other cool stuff about this Epitalon is that it's really increasing melatonin production and helps with regulating circadian rhythms. I think that is the magic in this one, because a lot of us have disrupted circadian rhythms because we're stressed out. A lot of us do not produce enough melatonin to help us to get into deep sleep. Now, melatonin is also an antioxidant, and we lose melatonin as we get older. Our sleep doesn't get as deep. It doesn't get as good in quality. And that's why you see older folks napping during the day. This might actually help to keep energy up and regulate the circadian rhythm a little bit better. Because if you're sleeping during the day, you're messing with your circadian rhythms. You need to be awake during light time and sleep during dark time. So I find this really fascinating. Now, other research has shown that this epitalone has increased lifespan by 11 to 16%. That's kind of crazy. It also has shown that it has increased our telomere length. So our chromosomes in our cells actually shorten as we get older. And so this telomere is the end point of our chromosomes. And so this peptide can keep them longer. And as far as data has shown, it's kept them at a length increase of 1% each year, which might not seem like a ton, but hey, that's kind of cool. And so this is data from Montreal coming out of Jean-Francois Tremblay's work. So something to think about there. Another random cool side effect of this epitalone is 90% retinal function improvement. So it's preventing retinal cells from degrading. And so the retina's in your eye. So what happens as you get older, your eyes get worse. And I talk a lot about my eyes in terms of darkness and light and having trouble with it as I am getting into my 40s and definitely wanting to see acupuncture needles as I get older. So I'm intrigued by this peptide and thinking that I might try it out. The cool part about this one that Jean-Francois Tremblay mentioned is that you can cycle it 2 to 3 times a year, and you can do an injection into your subcutaneous tissue in your abdomen for about 20 days, and you can replenish your body's stores, then wait, say 6 months, and you can do it twice a year. Or you could divide it out kind of, you know, into thirds, a third of the year each time. So something to think about. I think that this is probably better for older folks, possibly those who are chronically ill, possibly folks who are really stressed out. I probably wouldn't be trying to hit this guy up when I was 20, but now that I'm in my 40s, I think, you know, that could be something to think about. Definitely in your 50s, 60s, for sure. Now, there's another peptide out there known as Humanin, and that's an anti-aging peptide as well. And it's been shown to be therapeutic for diabetes, neurodegenerative conditions, and cardiovascular disease as well. And it's even found to protect against chemotherapy. And so I don't have a lot of data on Humanin, but I do find it interesting. So we'll keep an eye on that guy. Now, another big area of peptides is helping with mental focus. And there's quite a few out there. In particular, the most popular one, I think, at this moment is CEMAX, S-E-M-A-X. It is an analog to the protein adrenocorticotropic hormone. So it has a lot of receptors in the body and a lot of responses in terms of hormone regulation. So CEMAX is delivered intranasally. And the majority of the research right now on it is Russian research. And this guy is used to treat the side effects of strokes and brain injuries, but we need to deliver it nasally to get the nerves to be affected because it has low absorption rates. And what you get in nasally can cross the blood-brain barrier. And so this is why you're spraying it nasally, because you want to target your brain tissue. Now you can inject it. You won't inject it into your nose though. Just so that we clarify that. I made it sound a little scary there. But it can restore nerves in your body. So you just have to think about what are you treating in this case. But in the US, it's used to work on cognitive enhancement. And so it's known as a nootropic. And in that case, it's typically used in form of a nasal spray. So keep an eye on that guy. I really like the data that's coming out of Russia in terms of the strokes and brain injuries. And it's used there quite commonly to work on treating these things. So I think we could really learn something from these studies in terms of post-stroke care and preventative for strokes and things of that nature. Because, of course, as we know, the side effects of stroke can be pretty devastating with the paralysis and things of that nature. Now, another big area of peptides is mitochondrial repair. And MOTS-C is kind of the peptide du jour right now in this department. And it's an endocrine signaling peptide that mimics the messages coming from your mitochondria. So these are your little factories in every single one of your cells. And so it can regulate glucose metabolism and skeletal muscle insulin action. And so we've got a lot here in terms of it working very similarly to the drug metformin in terms of regulating glucose utilization. It also regulates mitochondrial and fatty acid metabolism and body weight. And the way they think that this is working is via the folate cycle. So any of you out there that have MTHFR mutations, MOTC may be able to help you and perhaps get things going. Perhaps you have mitochondrial fatigue, which is a cellular type of fatigue. This can be huge. And I'd be curious to use this guy along with magnesium, CoQ10, key B vitamins to see if that combination helps with enhancing mitochondrial function. Now, keep in mind, if you've listened to any of my podcasts on fatigue, mitochondria are your factories. They're what produce energy in your body. And as you get older, they become less efficient at producing energy. So this could be a really big deal for helping you create and optimize your energy production. Now, there are some other really interesting peptides out there that I don't know a lot about, and I'm just going to mention them for sheer mentioning them. There's one called VIP. It's a nasal spray for mold toxicity. That's pretty cool, especially since treating mold toxicity is a tough way to go. So anyone out there that's dealing with mold toxicity, see if you can find a doc who is well-versed in VIP. I am not, but I'm mentioning it just so that you've heard about it. Now, in terms of hair loss, Zn-thymulin, GHKCU, these are foams that you can put onto the scalp to help induce hair growth. So these could be really good benefits. I have a lot of people that are frustrated with their hair loss and the common methods are not getting it to work for them. So this might be something to consider. Now, in terms of libido, melanotan's been out in the universe for a long time as a peptide utilized for giving you a tan, but also helping with your libido. But bromelanotide is kind of a newer guy on the market. It's known as PT-141. This guy can help with erectile dysfunction as well. And so it's an injectable, but something to keep an eye out there. Now, AOD-9604, this is a peptide that's known for stimulating hyaline cartilage regeneration. So this is a joint repair guy. And it comes in a cream or an injectable that's injected straight into the joint. You can look for doctors that may be able to help you with this. Doctors will have to do it. It is not in the scope of practice for naturopathic physicians. So my thoughts so far on peptides. I really like my BPC-157 along with the Ipamorlin and the CJC-1295. Now, I pretty much sound like I just rattled off some military acronyms, but I do like it. It may sound maybe a little bit, let's say, Star Wars-like in terms of the treatment because of the letters and numbers, but I'm finding that my body composition is changing. I do feel more energetic. I'm not as tired. And sleep has been a long struggle for me over the years. And this is helping much better than the CBD was helping. So I got to say that targeting peptides is something that I'm definitely going to keep my eye open for more research and more data and keep working on things for myself. I'm also going to try that Apitalon and see what happens because my curiosity is definitely spiked now learning more and more about it and hearing more and more about it in terms of certain podcasts and research. So I'll let you know how that goes. The problem that I can see with peptides and being able to allow this to, you know, every single person that I see and treat is the financial investment. These aren't cheap. Like I said before, you're looking between $100 to $500 per protocol, and in some cases up to $1,000, depending on how many different peptides you're stacking on top of each other. It's not cheap. But if you have a really good way of cycling it and using it as a 2 to 3 times a year type of protocol for a few weeks or a few months, this might actually be the future of medicine, where you can cut down on the amount of supplements you're taking and use peptides instead. Now, I am all for simplifying your health. And I really think that peptides may be the way to go. So far, it's looking positive. So we'll see how things go with myself and my patients and as data keeps rolling out on these guys. I think it's pretty cool. So I would love to hear from you guys out there if you have any experience with peptides, if you want to know more about certain ones. Hit me up. Let me know. Email me on my info page at drjkrausnd.com. I've got a little form there that you can email me and let me know what you think. Let me know what you want to learn about. I've also included on my podcast notes at drjkrausnd.com Ben Greenfield's peptides podcast notes, so you can see some of where I was mining information from, but also where I look to. Ben Greenfield's one of the greatest dudes out there in terms of research and getting the top folks, the gurus in the peptide department. And Jean-Francois Tremblay, he is out of Montreal. I've also included his Facebook page so you can see what he's posting on peptides. Dr. Seeds, I posted his link to his BPC 157. I also included a peptide therapeutics current status and future directions article so you can kind of see where things have come from and where they're headed. Granted, the article was published in 2015, so it's a little bit older. There's nothing as good as this one in terms of reviews that I've found to date. If anyone else finds something better, let me know. And TaylorMade Compounding Pharmacy, I've also put the link there because, hey, if you have a doc who is starting to learn about peptides and wanting to find a quality compounding pharmacy, TaylorMade is awesome. They're out of Kentucky. They will answer all your questions. They give you a great introduction and they have a ton of data for you. So I highly recommend them. And if your doc's kind of dabbling with peptides and hasn't quite dialed in their resources, head or direct them to TaylorMade Compounding Pharmacy. Now, of course, full disclosure, none of these folks that I mentioned are giving me any kickbacks from this. I do not receive anything from anyone to talk about their products or services. So full disclosure, this is me giving you information that I know works and what I've seen work in my practice. And that's the way I like it right now and gonna keep it that way. So nevertheless, you have survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Go out and have a great day, whatever you're doing. Hey everybody, Dr. Janine Krause here. If you liked what you heard today, then head over to drjkrausnd.com to find my free resources and information to know when I post something new that's juicy that you might want to check out. Plus, head over to where you get your podcasts and like, subscribe, and write a review to help get the word out about me and help others at the same time to find me. It really does help, and I really appreciate all of your reviews.